सकहा श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर ज्योति गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम राधापति गिरि गौरदान की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। रब रूप धाम की जय। गंग जमुना तुलसी भक्ति देवी की जय। अनंत गौरी वैष्णव वृंद की जय। समवेत भक्तवृंद की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्ने श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य जगदानृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। श्री कृष्ण बाबू कैंपस चैप्टर 7 वर्स 50 देवो सुरो मनुष्यवा मुकुंद शरणम स्वास्ति renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation. He is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajans led by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service, whether in demigod society, asura society, human society, or Gandhara society. Every living entity should take shelter at the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. So, in the beginning of creation, the Supreme Lord taught Brahma, Chatusloki, the essence of the Bhagavatam, by which he was able to carry out the creation of the universe. Of course, that would be a secondary result of getting that knowledge, since the ultimate result of that knowledge is to attain prema. But anyway, through the instructions, that he got the shakti to create the material universe. So in those verses, the Chatusloki, which are considered to be the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the basic teachings, or the essential teachings. It may be difficult for us to understand how four verses can equal 18,000 verses or whatever. Nevertheless, those verses are, what to say, like sutras. And they have, even though it's only four verses, which means for us,
a series of 4 times 4, 16 lines, so to speak, of verse. It contains the essential elements. However, it is done in such a way that you may have to think about it a little bit to understand what is the actual teaching. In other words, there's various layers of meaning to these words, because actually, those 4 verses don't even mention the word Krishna. They don't even mention the word prema. So it is a little bit difficult for some people to understand how can this be the essence of Bhagavatam that doesn't talk about Krishna. Nevertheless, we also know that the Bhagavatam scriptures and Sukadeva Goswami and Krishna himself often do not speak directly. They may speak indirectly. That is also preferred in many cases by the Supreme Lord. So that's why the Upanishads appear so mysterious sometimes, because it's indirect expression rather than direct expression. So, in those verses, there's an explanation of who is Supreme. The Supreme Lord is the final origin of all existence, the basis of all existence, and that anything unrelated to the Lord is actually Maya. Any conception that we think is different from the Lord is actually illusory. And then he establishes that the goal is prema. And he also establishes that the method to get prema is bhakti. And then he states there that this process of bhakti is such that, since it's the ultimate process, it should be done by everyone at all times, in all places. So in other words, every single jiva in the universe will ultimately take to the process of bhakti. So when we speak of everyone, usually we think, oh well, all the human beings should take to the process of bhakti. And of course Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, you know, that the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, the Sudras, etc., everyone can take to the process of bhakti. However, here we see an expansion of that, that not only the human beings as we know it, but the Devas, the Asuras, as well as the Manusha, the human beings, the Yakshas, the Gandharvas, every other higher living entity should take to the worship of the Supreme Lord. So it's not just the human beings. All the other living entities that are intelligent should also take to the process of bhakti. So it is a process for everyone. What about the animals and plants? We say, well, the problem is that we can't give them instruction to worship the Supreme Lord, and they won't do it. So it's a problem. But those who are intelligent enough, the human beings, the yakshas, etc., they have enough intelligence to understand statements, words, etc. So they should actually worship the Supreme Lord. Which means that none of them are deprived of the goal. If they're to perform the process and they don't get the goal, because they are yaksha or whatever, then what's the use of them doing it at all? It's such a waste of time. So, what this means is that all of these different living entities can take to the process, and they can achieve the goal also, even the asuras. Of course, when we talk about asura, we're not talking about the greatest demons in their demon state of tamagun can attain prema, no. But we're talking about the category of demons, those born in demon families. The asuras, according to Bhagavatam, are born in certain lineages from Diti, and they're called Daityas, and others from Danu, they're called Danavas. So the Daityas and Danavas, these are the asuras, so to speak. And then besides that, we have things like Yakshas and Gandharvas and Bhutas and Pretas and so many other living entities which are more or less tamasic in quality. And then we have the Devatas, who are in Satvagun. Rakshasas are considered to be in Rajagram. So we'll have a variety of living entities in different gunas who are intelligent. And all of these living entities can take the process of worship of the Lord. So it is applicable to everyone in that sense. Of course, then we do have exceptional cases of animals also. So we have Gajendra. He also was able to perform bhakti because he remembered his previous existence, some prayers as a king, and he recited those prayers mentally, I think probably as an elephant. And then the Lord came, so he did some bhakti even as an animal. So it is possible in some cases, exceptional cases for animals also. And of course we have another case of Bharat, became a deer. So in a deer, then he simply went to the Himalayas and fasted and remembered the Supreme Lord, and the next lifetime he became Yudhvara. And then he got Prema. So animals are not completely excluded. Exceptional cases are there where they can also advance. And of course we have the case of the dog who was fed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he went to Vaikuntha because he took prasadam from the Lord. So cases like that are also there. In any case, everyone can take the process of bhakti, and at all times, from the beginning of the day of Brahma, first day of Brahma to the end of Brahma's life, that process of bhakti is applicable. It is applicable throughout the day of Brahma. It is applicable to all yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarka Yuga, Kali Yuga, from beginning to end. It is applicable throughout the life of an individual, from birth to death. It is applicable at all times of the day, morning, night. There are what we call inauspicious times, at which you shouldn't do activities, certain activities like studying the Vedas, etc. Worship of the Lord actually can be done anytime. And therefore we find that when it was inauspicious because of an eclipse of the moon, when Lord Chaitanya was born, everyone was chanting Hare Krishna. Because you can do worship of the Lord when it's not inauspicious. So inauspicious times are also not a bar for performing worship of the Supreme Lord. And pure, impure. Now, of course, we do have some restrictions in terms of deity worship. So when you are impure, at those times, you should not worship the deity. So you have to take a bath and wear fresh cloth, etc. Then you can worship the deity. But other types of bhakti, no. Pure and more you can do, particularly chanting the name of the Lord. That worship of the Lord you can do. No restrictions of purity, impurity, or whatever. Therefore, over all the length of time in the material world, bhakti takes place. But more than that, worship of the Lord takes place beyond material time also. In that sense, sarvada at all times goes even beyond material time. When material time stops in the spiritual realm, worship of the Lord goes on. It does not stop. So it's an eternal process, sarvada. Not only before liberation from material world, after liberation from material world, worship of the Lord goes on. So that's even more important than this all times in the material world. In the spiritual world also, it goes on. Sarvada at all times, and sarvatra, everywhere, in all places. So from the lowest planet to the highest planet in the material world. The process of bhakti is recommended. Yeah? So those persons in hellish planets, if they worship the Lord or chant his name, then they can get very, very good effect. So hellish planets are not excluded from the process of bhakti. Then we have the Bhumandala with Bhart Varsha and all the other Varshas and all the other Dvipas. And all these Dvipas, there's the worship of the Supreme Lord. So the fifth canto of Bhagavatam is explained that in each Dvipa, a different form of the Lord is worshipped. On one Dvipa, we have Ramchandra being worshipped. On another, we have Narasimhadeva being worshipped. In another, we have the Lord as Kamadeva being worshipped, etc. So we have another way of, if it is Hayagriva being worshipped. So in the different Dvipas, we have different forms of the Lord worshipped. And then heavenly planets, all the Svarga and above, worship the Lord also. So the Devatas worship the Supreme Lord, obviously. And then all the way up to Brahma. Brahma worships the Supreme Lord. So we see before Krishna was born and Kamsa was causing problem. And then all the Devatas went to Brahma. Brahma went to the Supreme Lord. And of course he couldn't see him directly. But he communicated with the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, I will come and appear in the material world. So he meditated on the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. Yeah. So all the inhabitants throughout the universe, at all times, at all places, can perform the process of bhakti. No one is disqualified. And that means, as I said, they can attain the highest result. That is prema. So this is a glorification of the process of bhakti. It's so powerful and so merciful that everyone at all times and all places can perform it, and they can get the highest result. It's not that some people get better results than others, and then some get partial results, etc. No, they all end up with the final result. So therefore, it's a svastimahan. Just as we have become all auspicious, or attained all auspicious results. So everybody else, the Devas, Asuras, and Gandharvas, and all humankind, everyone should take to the worship of the lotus feet of Mukunda. Everybody can get the very best results from this type of worship. In this case we have Prahlad, who was born in the demon family, he was also a demon man, recommending the process for the demon children. Yeah. So, technically, other processes are forbidden for them. They cannot do jnana, because only people in Satyagun can do jnana. They cannot do yoga, because only Satyagun people can do yoga. But they are not debarred from bhakti. The person Rajagun, Tamagun, or Satyagun can do bhakti. And of course the person beyond the gunas also does bhakti. So, therefore, in this way, Prahlad is encouraging the demons, the children of the demons, to take to the process. That's why that no one is debarred from getting the best results. So, Prahlad is a very good example because, technically, he was also a demon. And he's considered to be the best of demons because he was born in a demon family. He became the best of devotees, in spite of the fact that he came from the wrong background, the wrong family. So therefore, it is possible for the Asuras also to become the best devotees. Very, very possible. So this is the, therefore, the nature of bhakti. And this condition of bhakti that it can be formed by everyone in all places at all times does not apply to other processes. They are all limited to particular people at particular times and particular places. Very interesting, eh? That they can only certain people can do these processes. People in Tamagun, Rajagun can do Karma Yoga. People in Sattvagun can do Jnana Yoga and Ashtanga Yoga. So their limitation in gunas is there for people. And, of course, upper planets and lower planets, etc. The lower planets are basically tamasic. So therefore, these processes are excluded from them. They don't do them. And if they are of not proper birth, they can't even be in Varnashram system, technically. these lower planetary persons, they can't even do Karma Yoga. We'll just speak of other processes. And upper planets, they don't do Karma Yoga either because they're beyond Karma Yoga. There's no lower varnas there. So they don't do Karma Yoga either. So there's all sorts of restrictions on place and time and person according to these other systems. But Bhakti Yoga is applicable to everyone at all times and all places. So this shows its greatness. In the process of bhakti, of course, then the chanting of the holy name is the most powerful process. Because even minimum qualifications are not even considered. Even the person without faith who accidentally chants gets good results, swasti, destroys karma, etc. And even the most impure person, he can perform bhakti in the form of chanting, and he gets very good results also. Whereas other processes like deity worship require purity. So this process, chanting, doesn't even require purity. And you can get the highest results. So, therefore, chanting the name among the processes of bhakti is considered to be the highest process because it is the most all-inclusive of all the processes of bhakti. So in this way, here, Prahlad recommends worship of the feet of Mukunda, Mukunda Charana Bhaja. So he uses the word Mukunda. So the derivation of that word is that person who gives mukti. That is one derivation of the word, one who gives liberation. Liberation from material bondage, etc. Liberation from karma, liberation from the material gunas, suffering, etc. So that is, of course, one aspect of the Supreme Lord. But then there's the other positive aspect of liberation. So normally we think of liberation as simply the Brahman type of liberation. But the other meaning of liberation is bhakti. That is real liberation. When you talk about kaivalya, or liberation, in the Bhagavatam, that word is used to indicate bhakti and prema. So when we say he gives liberation, it also means he gives prema to the devotees. Because that is the real satisfying position for the jiva. So not only he destroys karma and all these things, but he also gives the highest bliss to the devotees. So therefore, all the demons and other types of living entities besides the human being should take to the worship of the
lotus feet of the Lord, because he can give the highest result to them.
It is not? Yeah. Yeah, it's an easiest process. Not everybody takes to it. Yeah? Therefore, Krishna says, yes, it is very rare that one takes to the process of bhakti and attains perfection. Of course, the devotees are very merciful in the material world to spread to everyone. Still, not everybody takes to the process. Why? It's an individual thing. Of course, we can also say, well, not many people take to the process of jnana, and probably part less people take to the process of jnana in the modern age than they take to bhakti, or even yoga. How many serious yogis are there in India? Not very many. So that's even rarer, we could say, because of the more difficult processes. Comparatively, bhakti is easier. Some of all the people taking the spiritual processes, then definitely those who are seriously engaged will take to bhakti. Of course, many people claim, oh yes, we're some spiritual, there's a type of jnana or whatever, but actually, there's no real particular sadhana they do. They don't really have a sadhana at all, so they're not really serious. For those who are serious practitioners, take to the process of bhakti. Technically, jnana and yoga, you cannot really do it unless you renounce everything. The real jnani is the one who takes sannyas and simply lives by himself and dedicates himself to meditation on the mind. But someone in the material world cannot do this at all. So therefore, you see, it's not very popular as a sadhana itself. What should be the? Of a devotee. The desire of the devotee is to simply be to try to please Krishna by his service. That's all. That is, Anukuliyan Krishna Nusilam, which is Anya Abhilasha Krishna. That's all. According to the rules of Pancharatra, or the Vidhis, we have some standards. We have some rules there for deity worship. Why is that? This is the system of Pancharatra. After installing the deity, then you have to come up with some sort of standard of worship. And if your body is impure, for instance, you cannot touch the deity. Very mercifully, these same standards do not apply to the name, even though the name also is non-different from the deity, we can say. Why is that? That's simply the nature of the name as compared to the worship of the deity. There's different rules or different processes, even in bhakti. So, for deity worship, that those standards are there. We have to follow Pancharatra rules and regulations for that. Chanting the name, no rules. That's its nature. Simply the nature of the process. Well, chanting is a type of service. Hearing scripture is also a type of service. They're all types of bhakti. So, one can dedicate oneself to those processes. Usually, however, people have uncontrolled senses, so they cannot do that all day long. So therefore, we have other services for them also, engaging their body and other senses.
अंतरा श्री श्रीमद भागवतम की
जय।
श्रीमद भागवत महाराज की
जय।
श्रीमद भागवत प्रभुपाद की
जय।
आई होप सब।